Well, we're continuing our studies in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Man, I don't know what happened. I got really thirsty. Take one sip of cold water, you got to have some more. So we're continuing our study in the book of Acts, chapter 10, our study of Simon Peter, an apostle of Christ. We've crossed the two-year mark now in this study of one of God's chosen ministers, one of God's chosen children, this example of how God leads His people to the promised land. All the way my Savior leads me. Is that not the song we sing? All the way. Not just from this time until then, but all the way. Our Lord has been leading everything all the way since the beginning of time. Plain and simple. Everything that has happened for you and I, or everything that has happened in past and in the present and in the future, is for God's people. That's all there is to it. We sing that song, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." And I personally have been blessed beyond degree with this study to see how the power of the Almighty works in this one's life, this one called Peter, Simon Peter, and to see the resemblance of his work in my own life. I once walked in darkness, not knowing who my Lord and Savior was, and the Lord crossed my path with one who preached the truths of his gospel. Let me say that again. The Lord crossed my path with one who preached the gospel. God's people know that we're not out seeking for the Lord. We weren't seeking for the Lord. He sought us out and He found us. Amen. Because the Lord doesn't fail at anything. If He's looking for something, He's going to find it. Because He already knows where it's at. Amen. Ain't it just as simple as that? Oh, what it is to be brought across the path of one who preaches the truths of the Lord's gospel, and by the sovereign power of our Lord Jesus Christ, I left all that I knew of this world behind. I left chance. I left luck. And I followed surety. If I could say there was one thing that jumped out at me when I heard the gospel preached for the first time sitting over there in that pew next to my sister Shirley, was this: that I heard about one who deserves to be called God. I didn't hear about some flimsy little so-called God like a tree somewhere in the wilderness waiting for me to come around and find it and hug on it. I heard about the one who deserves, who has the right to be called God, because He is creator of everything. I left all because of Him, just as Peter and the other apostles left all and followed Him. All of God's children, when they are called by the power of God through the power of the Spirit, they drop everything and follow Him. He turned my eyes upon Jesus. And as I have looked fully, you know, we're never going to see that until the Lord takes us out of this world, this body of death. But we can look through the glass dimly, and it gets brighter and brighter. That light that the Lord shines in our heart gets brighter and brighter as we go through life. Because we stop looking at all those things of the world that took our attention away from it, from Him. And now we're looking to Him. Amen. Aren't you thankful the Lord brings troubles into our lives and gives us the opportunity to see, I can't do this on my own? Aren't you thankful that He brings weakness into our lives? Absolutely. I have no time in my life felt more weaker than I have this week. So insufficient to be standing here before God's people. And yet the Lord sends people like our brother Mike to come up to me and just grab my arm and say, Just keep at it. Hang on. We're all right there with you. I look fully now, as fully as I can, on the face of my Lord, and the world grows strangely more dim every day. I know there's a lot going on out there in our country. We're all concerned about where we're going at as a people. But as I come to realize more and more that it is my Lord's will for everything to happen, and for everything there is goodness in it for me. There is goodness in it for His people. I could care less what goes on in that little white building down in town Sacramento, or in the one over in Washington. The world grows strangely dim in the light of my Lord's glory and grace. Is that not the case with you? Look with me at the results of gospel preaching. Will you read with me verses 42 through 44 of Acts chapter 10? Now you recall, and for those of you who are just joining us this morning, we've been looking at the book of Acts where Peter was sent to Cornelius. Actually, Cornelius was told to send people to Peter down in Joppa. And the Lord said to Cornelius, send some people down there and get this man Peter and bring him back here, for he has words for you. And Peter came back and he preached. And in the last few lessons, we've been looking at that message that was preached in verses 36 through 39. And I'll just start off with that very first thing in verse 36. All of God's preachers preach this, that Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. And after preaching that message, we read in verses 42, and He commanded us to preach, speaking of God, commanded the disciples to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He, the Lord Jesus, which was ordained of God to be judge of the quick and the dead. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remissions of sins. This is the gospel. The gospel that it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that anyone would receive the remissions of sin. And then in verse 44, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The Holy Ghost attended the word of God being preached. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't John Reeves. It wasn't Gene Harmon. It was the Holy Ghost who speaks to His people through the preaching of His word. We have a Bible study on Friday nights, and we're looking at this book that Don Fortner wrote on the scriptures of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark. And I don't want any people to lose sight of the fact that, yes, we may be using what Don has wrote about that, but Don's words are not the basis of our study. The basis of our study is the Bible. I appreciate men like Charles Spurgeon, Robert Hawker, Gene Harmon, Don Fortner, Henry Mahan. I can go on and list all kinds of men, but they're just men. Our purpose on Friday nights is to study God's Word. Because this is where the Spirit speaks to God's people, is through the preaching of His Word. The results are Christ, and He gets all the glory. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? Who is Peter? What was it? Let me see. Was it Cornelius? Yes, it was. Over in verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up. He stood him up. He says, whoa, wait a minute. What are you doing? I'm not the one you need to worship. There's only one. There's only one who gets the worship, gets the glory. That's our Lord and Savior. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then it neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. The Holy Spirit. He never talks about himself. The Holy Spirit doesn't come along and raise up the Holy Spirit. He doesn't raise up a man like Peter or Don Fortner or any of the other men that may stand before God's people and speak the gospel. But he raises up Christ to be filled with the Spirit of God is not some out-of-body, euphoric, hand-waving experience. Oh, how the world wants to see how the Lord has filled me with His Spirit. I'm waving. I'm feeling so good. We're going to look this morning a little bit at being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is the revelation to one's heart who Jesus Christ is. The very fact that you and I know Him as God, the one who deserves, the one who has the right, the one who receives the glory of being called God Almighty, the very fact that you and I know that is a sign of the Spirit dwelling in our hearts. Because that old stony heart before that we had, and it's wanted something of ourselves to have glory in, didn't it? And we still struggle with that, going about our way in life thinking, see what good I've done? I've got more to say about that in this morning's message. A little teaser for you to stick around for the next hour. Being filled with the Spirit is to have the revelation to one's heart of what it was that Jesus did. He didn't go to the cross and die for everybody, or everybody would have been saved. Amen. But He did go to the cross and die for His people, and His people shall be saved. Amen. And here's the grace and the love that I have for that statement, and that is that my Lord could have left me right there with the rest of the world. Yet because He loved me, because He loved His people, He will not leave us to ourselves. He comes to us when we are dead in our trespasses and sin, and He places life in us, cutting that old stony heart that says, "This I will not have this man rule over me," and putting a heart of, "I love my Lord because He first loved me." Being filled with the Spirit, this gift of the Spirit is to believe God's Word. His Word concerning His begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. Familiar verses, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Not some faith that you just turned on yesterday because you thought you might be a little smarter, or because you got tired of being caught in all the foolishness of our flesh, the problems that we have in the flesh, but because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken up dwelling in our hearts. Faith that was given to us. Saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But in the very next verse after that, we are told this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now I'd like to ask you to turn over to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at two verses. And we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at these two verses. So turn to Galatians chapter 5. I got to get in the right part of the book here. There we go. Galatians chapter 5. Right here. And look with me, if you would, at verse 22. Now remember, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit. We're talking about these folks at the house of Cornelius. These Gentiles. Those who were outside of the people of God at that time. The preferred, the catered to people of Israel. God has a people in every tongue, in every nation, and in every tribe, and in every part of time. What is it to be filled with the Spirit? In verse 22, we read this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith." Now, I know that what we're reading here in Galatians 5, if you were to read before and to read after, you're going to find that Paul is encouraging the Galatians to walk according to their calling, according to the holiness of God. Do the best you can to go out and sin not. If the Lord Jesus dwells in your heart, you will do it all that you can in your power to sin not. That doesn't mean you won't sin, but it does mean that sin will disturb you. It may not disturb you at the time you're doing it, but it will come to disturb you. But I want to take a moment here with these words that we see in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 22, and look at them with a spiritual view. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How is it that the Spirit manifests Himself in our life when it comes to love? Have you ever had somebody cross you since the God has called you out of darkness? Have you ever got, "Oh, why did they do that? What in the world did that person do that for? Why would they do that to me?" And then a moment comes when you think to yourself, "I could have done that to somebody else." Oh Lord, I have done that to others. Lord, help me to forgive others as you have forgiven me. Love, spiritual love. That's a love that was never in John Reeves' heart. That's a love that can only come from the Spirit of God doing a work in the heart of one of God's people. Our Lord says, you need to love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not a betting man. I don't go down to the casino very often. But I would bet that if I ask you to raise your hands just right now, those who have never said that very prayer, those who have never asked the Lord to help us love one another, I'll bet you if I was to ask if there was someone here who loves their neighbors as they do themselves, I bet you not one hand would go up. I know my hand won't. I want to, though. Why do I want to love my neighbor now where I didn't before? You see what I'm talking about? Spiritually applying these very words that we're reading here, the fruit of the Spirit is that John Reeves wants to love his neighbors now. I'm still not doing it as good as I'd like to, but I'm doing it a lot more than I used to. And here's the reason why, is because my Lord loves me. We don't get into the waters of baptism to be saved. We get into the waters of baptism because the one who first loved us says, "Do it." And we know that what He says is good. It's good to love thy neighbor. Oh, how I'd love to do that more. Joy. The next one is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. I have great joy. Great joy in my heart for what my Lord has done for me. No greater love is there than for one to give his life for one that he loves. And my Lord loved me so much that he gave himself for me. We have that thing in life we called the Orientals, in the Oriental food, they call it sweet and sour. The sin that's in this flesh is sour as can be, but there's sweetness that goes right along with it, and that's my Savior's love for me. Woo, that just came out. I didn't mean to make that rhyme. Wow, John said a rhyme. But it is. What a joy. That sweet and sour taste of our Lord, what He went through, becoming flesh, becoming a man, walking this earth, and then going to that terrible cross, that sour cross for the sour sins that each and every one of us have. But oh, what joy there is that He went to that cross. Because He did so, I know I have a place in heaven. I know I'll be there with your husband someday, talking right alongside of you two, talking alongside of you and your wife, all of those loved children of God who have gone on before us, our brother Don Jukic, Don Fortner, Henry Mahan, my dad, Calvin Samuel Ellis. Can't wait to see him again someday. When you're filled with the Spirit, you have a certain joy in your heart. Not for the things of this earth, not for the things of this flesh, but for eternal things. For what our Savior has done for us and where we will be at with Him forever. They have peace. Do you not struggle with your sin in your flesh? If you don't, you need to really take consideration of where you stand with God. Remember, He came to save sinners. Those who need no physician don't need a physician. Do you struggle? Do you fight the war with sin in our flesh? Filled with the Spirit declares that our Lord Jesus Christ has conquered our sin. There's victory in Jesus, Polly Mary. You've been singing that all week. There's victory in Jesus. Filled with the Spirit is to have peace. Filled with the Spirit is to have long suffering. I know there's sin in this flesh, and I'm going to suffer with it for as long as the Lord leaves me on this earth. I know that it'll be over sometime soon. Some of us know it'll be over sooner than others, don't we? Just around the corner. Being filled with the Spirit is having a long suffering. It's having a gentleness. Man came here this morning, torn about how his son is strung out on drugs and talks to people that aren't there, and his mother couldn't take care of him anymore, and his father's homeless already, and his mother kicked his son out, so now him and his son are both homeless, and he just needed $20 for gasoline to get him around until his son was done with his probation officer. We're not a rich church where we can feed the poor like some, like the Dear Church up in Pollock Pines. One of the great things that they do is they feed the poor. But in the gentleness of our Lord and Savior, God has given us the grace to help this dear man out who was so distraught. He cried tears, real tears, with the distraughtness of where his son is and having to deal with it. Gentleness. Being filled with the Spirit is goodness. But here's another one that I really want to point out. Being filled with the Spirit is faith, true faith in the Word of God. I don't understand God's Word many parts. I probably understand less than any other man that ever walked this earth. But I believe it. I thank God for men who try to explain things, to try to expound on things. How can one explain God became flesh? I can't understand how anybody can explain that. The Lord gives some men revelation to be able to do that, but not this one. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Just to the right there, a couple of pages. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now we've looked at how being filled with the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now let's consider what it is to be filled with the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness. As a child of God, I can tell you that in me there is no righteousness. Yet I have to be righteous as the Son of God to be able to go to that heaven that we spoke of a moment ago, don't we? Our Lord is so holy, He cannot even look upon sin. I must be as holy as He is. And Christ has imputed His righteousness to me, to all of His children. Because He took our sins upon Him, because He took the curse for us, because He was made a curse for us and hung on that cursed tree, our righteousness is in Him. The fruit of the Spirit is the dwelling of the righteousness of Christ in a person. Not a righteousness that John has of his own, not a righteousness that you can have of your own, not a righteousness that you can do by doing something good for those in the world, but a righteousness that is perfect and given to us freely by the mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now what's the next thing? And truth. Most of you heard the story about the Gideon representative who showed up here wanting to encourage us to contribute and to support the Gideons of passing out the Bibles. And if you have heard already, when he told me that he had told that young man, Jesus loved you, and the young man turned around, I asked him right then, I said, how do you know? How do you know that young man? How do you know that Jesus loved him? Oh, well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I said, well, what about Micah 1, or Malachi 1? Jacob have I hated, Esau have I loved. Oh, we don't talk about hate. Well, that's denying the truth of God, is it not? If we deny sin, then we call God a liar. If there is no reason to talk about sin, and that's what God hates, folks. God hates sin. The very thing that we come into this world and that we are when we come into this world is sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's not the other way around. We're not sinners because we've done something wrong. We do things wrong because we're sinners. The Spirit of the Spirit of God dwelling in a person, in a child of God, is the fact that the Lord shows us the truth of things. And He's not hiding anything from us. And the truth is that we deserve His wrath, but yet we have received mercy and grace from our Savior. Robert Hawker wrote this. He said, think, reader. I love the way he states things at times, doesn't he? Think, reader. Think about this. What blessed seasons those were when God the Spirit sent His Word and owned that Word and crowned the laborers of His servants in that Word with the graces of His holy unction. What refreshment must it have been both to the Lord's servants and to the Lord's people, when while the one was speaking, the Holy Ghost was descending on the other, and both enjoying the presence of grace and the Lord Jesus in the heart. Almighty Lord, to thy church do thou in the present hour manifest that both the work and the glory is thine. And when thou art mercifully pleased to send thy word to thy people, or to bring thy people to thy word, grant that glorious gospel of the ever-blessed God may indeed be preached with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And then he quotes this from 1 Peter 1 verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now let's close today with these last thoughts from verses 45 through 48. Oh, go back to our text. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verses 45. And they, speaking of those Gentiles, those very ones that while Peter yet spake these words and the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. I take you back, folks. Just want you to think about this. I take you back to the day that the Lord sent his revealing spirit into your heart, opening the scriptures to you in plain sight. Can you remember that? I can remember it as clear as a bell. That the Lord took you into, he opened the scriptures to your heart, expounding unto you the things regarding himself. Did not your heart begin to burn within? Did not your desires and thoughts begin to turn to the living God? I remember the next Sunday afterwards. What are you doing? Well, I'm going to go to church again. Why? I don't know. I just need to go. Okay. She never told me I couldn't go. And I thank the Lord for that. She may not have understood why for the first 5 years, but she never told me no. She goes, okay. Something weird's going on with John. But she supported me still. I take you back to that day when our Lord opened our eyes and our ears to the truths of his word, when the Spirit of God came into our hearts and our hearts' desires and our thoughts began to turn towards the living God. When I asked what now to Pastor Gene and to Steve Doyle, their first instruction to me was God's commandment to be baptized. Okay. And I did. Why? Because that's the Lord's commandment. And if he loves me enough to give himself for me, shouldn't I at least love him enough to do what he says? Because he tells me everything is going to be for my good. Not that being baptized had anything to do with my salvation, but that I obeyed openly declaring my belief in his gospel. I came to the waters of baptism because I saw the Lord's love for me. I saw his love for me in my wretched state, and I fell in love with him. I obeyed out of love. In 1 John 4:19, we read this: we love him because he first loved us. Oh, what a love he has for his people. And oh, what a love he has for me. Would you stand with me, please?